You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, this evening, we are joined again by Elder Damon Mubinde, who is a senior lecturer at the Helderberg College in Cape Town. And he is joining us to share some minimum security awareness tips when using the internet. Because I do think that, as I mentioned, it can go terribly, terribly wrong when you are on the internet. And he's here to talk to us. And we really appreciate his time. My Elder, once again, good evening.
Good evening, brother. How are you today? And good evening to all the listeners.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you? How was your day?
My day was okay. I was at work. I was giving some lectures and I was doing some research.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as usual, doing the routine work here and there.
Ah, you know what? I should take some tips on research from you because, hey, that thing can show us flames, eh? This research thing.
Yes. One day, because it's part of tech, we can talk about it briefly, just to touch about it.
Yeah.
Maybe you may not be the only one. There may be other people that may also find some benefits from the talks.
Definitely. We'll do exactly that. Now, we're talking about the internet and being safe. I suppose there are some minimum tips that one needs to be aware of when they are on the internet. And that's what we're talking about today. But I get the sense, my Elder, that things can go terribly wrong. Am I right?
You are very, very right. Things can go terribly, terribly wrong, and the consequences are very, very horrible. Yes, when someone is using the internet.
What are some of those areas, my Elder, that one has to be aware of? I mean, I think a lot of us and you know, young people as well, we get a nice phone, nice smartphone, and now we are able to access things on the internet that maybe we didn't have access to. And so, like we're saying, it can go terribly wrong. What are some of those things that one has to watch out for when they are on the internet?
Thank you so much. I am going to go through the talk this evening from one angle. Mind you, this topic is so broad.
Yeah.
So we need to, I'll just take one angle, then probably when we have time next time, we may talk about some other angles. First of all, we need to know why one needs to care about security when they are using the internet. Why should one care? Now, I would like to bring you to this. Internet is part of life.
Okay.
And life is so good, but it has a lot of factors that work against us.
Okay.
Or I say it has its own rules.
Yeah.
That must be obeyed in order to traverse it with the minimal amount of safety or where there is no danger. Of course, you cannot avoid everything.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say, for example, there are a lot of dangers in life. I will give some examples. When you are in the jungle, you know that you are not secure because there are wild animals.
Yes.
There are dangerous plants.
Yes.
There are obstacles. There are sharp stones. You know, so for you to survive, you must understand the space.
Yeah.
In which you are,
yeah,
and obey the rules that govern that space.
Mm.
Very, very important. So not only the jungle, when you are at sea, you know that man is not meant to be in water.
Yeah.
So there are dangerous creatures, sharp rocks, rough waters, rough seas, even water itself is a danger to humanity. Mm. So for you to navigate safely, there are rules that you must follow. Mm. You must understand that space.
Mm.
We can also talk about the airspace, flying.
Yeah.
You know, these are the areas at which a man, you know, where a man finds himself.
Yeah.
So when you are flying, space itself is dangerous. It requires you to obey and follow certain rules to navigate safely.
Yeah.
You must understand the environment. Now, when you break any of the mentioned rules in different areas of life that I've talked about, then you will find yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
To an extent of endangering others or losing your possession or even your life.
Yeah.
So man has discovered a lot of things that help us, invented a lot of tools that help us, say, to communicate and all these things. And internet is part of it. So there are rules that you need to work with.
Yeah.
When they are broken, these rules, when they are broken, then whatever you want to achieve, you won't achieve it properly. I'm just trying to lay the foundation so that people can have a proper understanding, because internet is looked upon to be this safe haven, a place where you can get anything that you want. You just go to the computer. Hallelujah. Everything is there. And you are so free. Anyone can ask you anything. You enter anything, all your credentials. And people are so free because it is so silent and it is so subtle. It is so beautiful, you know? So some dangers are as a result of breaking the rules. When the rules that govern the internet are broken, you can find yourself in trouble. Other dangers are the ones I call external dangers.
Okay.
Other human beings would like to take advantage of the ignorance of the users so that they can siphon some money or some information.
Yeah.
Others do that for fun. So this is the area that we are going to dwell on. So internet is not an exception. It is the interconnection of computers and servers that contain information which can be accessed by anyone who has an internet access. Now, if you have to understand the internet, it has become the center of commerce, you know. Almost everything that we are buying and selling is now centered on the internet.
That's true.
Information storage, information sharing, information access. It is used for educational purposes, you know, business, banking, research, socializing. Name them. So, criminals, like I said, every space has got its own danger. So, criminals. Have taken advantage of this and they use it for their criminal activities. We have seen a lot of people who have been robbed of their lifelong savings. We have seen people who have been duped by being sold something that does not exist because internet can use pictures. We have seen people lured, kidnapped, forced to do certain things against their will by using the internet. So today, we would like to talk about security awareness, just minimal, because it is so broad. So we are going to look at security awareness, minimal security awareness, when one is using the internet. So I have laid the foundation so that people can know that internet is not just another strange thing or another thing that is different from what we know. Like we talked about last time, technology is just changing the face, but it is the same one. It is the same thing. There is no difference from a long time ago. Still, people were robbed of their money, even if information was disseminated via paper, whereby, for example, if there is a magazine in America, it will take months for it to reach Africa. But when you go through the magazine, you will get the information of the latest according to you. And there will be adverts, you know, people would advertise things, jobs and all those things. And you find that people were finding themselves duped, even using that kind of technology at that time. But the difference with this time is that it is now very widespread. And it is not just people who are rich who've got access to internet or to information, but everyone. A person in a backyard can just create a company and put things, and people would think, oh, this
it's
is a great
legit,
company,
yeah.
But it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Internet has become an integral part of modern life and is used for a wide range of purposes.
Mm.
For example, if we talk about communication, we use emails to send and receive electronic messages. We use instant messages or messaging, real-time text, where you are typing, I am responding to you, voice, video chats with friends and colleagues. Social media, where you share updates, photos, and videos with global networks of friends and followers.
Yeah.
These things are very good. So, number one, communication. We use internet for communication.
Yes.
And who does not communicate? Everyone communicates. And like I heard some people a few years ago who were saying, no, they don't need to have WhatsApp. They cannot use the internet because those things are what today everyone is communicating.
Yeah.
Depend on the post office, you will send your letter now and it will arrive next year because not only has internet overtaken the snail mails, but it has also made the snail mail system slower because no one is maintaining those things, so they are even slower than they were in the 80s. So, apart from communication, you know that now people depend on the internet for communication.
Yes,
you know. Then number two, information retrieval. People use web browsing, accessing the websites to find information. Today, when you want to buy anything, you don't need to walk a long distance to find where you can buy a gadget or whatever you want. You just surf the internet within the vicinity of the area. You can get that. Now, to make matters worse, even, you know, you can be in your home and just buy something from Pick and Pay, or, you know, you can dial a mechanic who can come to your home to work on your car. So information retrieval, search engines, using platforms like Google to search for specific information. So you know that all these areas are making people to depend on the internet, like for you know, they trust it because what they want to get, they get. Then we do have research, education. Look at education. Nowadays, you cannot depend on the library. You know, the library is where you go. You have to look for a book. You go from one place to another. You walk. You check what. If it has been taken, it has been taken. But the internet, you can go there. The same book can be read by 100 people at the same time.
Yeah.
So you find that research has been enhanced. Online learning, research, accessing academic journals. Then there is entertainment, streaming, watching videos. You can be updated with information that is happening anywhere in the world, you know, real-time information. So entertainment, commerce, shopping, you know, working and all those things. I know of friends who are working for American companies, but they live here in South Africa. All these things that we have mentioned, sharing of information, healthcare, travel, information security, news, you know, you depend on the internet.
Yeah.
But, like I said, every space where there is activity of human beings or whatever, every space has got its own rules.
Yes.
And every space is dangerous. So security awareness when using emails is very crucial. I just want to talk about emails this evening. So it is very, very crucial. And we know that a lot of people just go to emails because that's the way we communicate.
Yes.
If you have, you're applying for anything,
yeah.
you use an email. If your bank wants to communicate something, they will use email.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
few times they may use text, but email is reliable because information can be traced. You know, things like text messages cannot be traced a lot because in most cases you delete and there are no big servers that can keep those.
Yeah.
But email is very, very reliable. Hence, this evening, I chose to talk about the minimal security awareness when a person is using the internet.
Okay.
So, security awareness when you are using the emails, is crucial because email is a common vector. Now, by vector, I mean it attracts cyber attacks. What we call phishing. These are some of the things that I want to talk about. So, number one, when you are using the internet and you are using it for your emails, the first thing that you must know, you must know the way your environment is. You must first be aware of the people that you communicate with. People are not cautious. Whatever pops up, they just click. And they think, you know, you can have luck, and you know, someone can just give you millions of rands or dollars like that. No, it doesn't work like that. So, number one, be cautious with email attachments and links. What do I mean by attachments? When an email has been sent, there are those files that can be attached, which cannot be written on the actual email. They are attached, which means they are sent and they are put in a space or a box where you can click and retrieve that email the way it is. So now, those email attachments, in most cases, the attackers, they attach things that can steal your information, things that can, because nowadays it's not just about viruses whereby your computer is damaged and whatever. What is the hacker going to benefit from that? Because that one, you need to target a very big company at once to destroy their information. Then you have a motive behind to maybe get a ransom from them or what. But I'm talking about individuals. So it is very, very, not very common nowadays to have a virus or for a person to target you getting a virus that will just destroy your computer. No. The malicious elements that are there are there so much that when you get an attachment, if you click on it, then it will be attached with some elements that will take, for example, will take all your email addresses. Because if I have email addresses of 1,000 people, I can sell that. And then I can get some money. So that is a lot of information. Number two, your emails may contain information that that can disclose a lot of private information about you. So these attackers will send that attachment. When you click, you find that it takes just takes you somewhere. Or then you say, this thing, I don't know what it is, but it has taken the information. So how do you protect yourself from such? Know the people you are communicating with and know the circles that are around you. Like I said, when you are in the jungle, you must know the space. So no one can just send you something from nowhere. But you need to know. So avoid opening email attachments all the time. Be careful. Then the links. Links are things like when you are you receive an email, there are spaces or certain words that are in a different color. They can be in form of a picture, they can be blue or underlined, so that when you pass your cursor on it, it will then change to show you a finger to attract you to click on it. Those are what we call links. Now, those links, they take you from that place where you are to another website. Now, you may not know the website where that thing is taking you. It may duplicate or mirror your entire desktop or emails, and whenever you receive anything, it can reflect on that person's computer. So avoid clicking on links from unknown or suspicious senders. These are just minimal things that we need to know as users. Then hover your mouse over links to preview the URL before clicking to ensure that it's legit.
Yeah.
So what happens is, when I want to send you a link that may lead you somewhere else, if at all that person wants to steal your information, we will put the name. The name will be different. What you are going to see outside will be different. I can even put maybe SID Media, so that you think it's from SID Media.
Yeah.
That does not mean that that is what it is.
Yeah.
So before you click there, just take your cursor and hover it around or on top of that. Then you are going to see in the URL, there will be the route or the URL, the locator will be there, which will show you the exact source of that email. Now, it won't show you that name which was indicated on your in your email.
Yeah.
It will show you something else.
Yeah.
So those are just tips for emails and links. Let's go to number two quickly. So number two, you have to, we are talking about emails, the minimal tips that you can use when you are using the emails, when you are sending emails here and there. Verify the sender. So verify the sender's email address, especially if you receive an unexpected email request. Okay. So you have to verify. You need to verify by requesting sensitive information or actions from those people. At times they get, they want you to send them sensitive information. For example, they may ask for your ID number, or they may ask for your card number. They may ask for anything that is sensitive. So you have to check where that email is coming from, but you have to be very, don't be in a hurry. Where there is a promise or something, don't be in a hurry. Scrutinize properly. And you have to be aware of the way the emails are for your banker or for your school or for your what. I'm just giving an example. If it is SID Media, you need to know that the emails that come from SID Media are like this. So if you see the pattern changing, then you must be suspicious. Don't send anything to those people. If anything, pick up the phone and check if at all there is an email that has been sent to that effect. So be cautious of email addresses that look similar to official ones. But most of these people do not know how to write proper English. So the other thing that you need to check when you are verifying the sender is to see the spelling mistakes.
Spelling mistakes, okay.
Yes, then the alterations. You have to check the grammar. You know, if I am used to receiving emails from SID Media, I must know the tone. So, you know, working with the emails or working with the internet, it requires us to be very, very cautious. That is number two, verifying the sender. Number three, then I will give you space to, to ask some questions. I have a long list here. So beware of phishing emails. Now, what is a phishing email? These are emails that often impersonate legitimate organizations or individuals to trick you and me into revealing sensitive information. So people must be aware that they are not supposed to just disseminate any information to anyone who asks them. Usually banks tell us that they will not ask you to give them your PIN or whatever. Nowadays, these things are now very common even on over the phone. So be skeptical of emails that urgently request personal information, login credentials or financial details. There you have to underline the word urgent.
Urgent, okay.
You have to be very careful, So we have talked about three issues here. The first one was to be cautious with email attachments and links. Number two was to verify the sender. Number 3 was to beware of phishing emails, where people impersonate and they tell you your brother what, or your father who lived in somewhere, you left a will, and you don't have any person of that nature. But people, because of maybe the needs are too much, or the greed, or what, we tend to believe such things, and we give information readily. Thank you. You can ask any question before I go further.
I have two questions here, my elder. The first one is on the issue of impersonation, because sometimes you find that the email purports to be your boss, right? And the name and the surname, you can see this is my boss. And it looks like it's an email from him or her requesting you to do 1, 2, 3, 4. The importance, though, how do I quickly see? Because in the nick of things, when you are responding to emails and writing and you've got 1,000 other things on your desk that you need to do, I don't think a lot of us verify the email, right? We look at the name and you can see that's my boss's name, and you quickly respond or provide whatever it is, and then you walk out, only to find that you've actually sent sensitive information to someone who's outside. So how do we even become very careful when it comes to exactly that?
It's a very important question. So when people are phishing, they become very, very sophisticated.
Yeah.
They study your company. They study the way you exchange emails. They study everything, the signatures, but they cannot imitate the language, the tone. That's why I said anyone who communicates with you, check the tone, the way the language flows, it becomes different. So you will know, no, my boss has never asked me for such information. So when you find that there is something that does not appear like coming from your boss, then you must write back to your boss. Don't write back using that same to reply back. No.
Yes.
Type to your boss and then tell them to say, did you ask me for this and this and that?
Yeah. Okay.
There are other things that you need to look at. For check the logo, because such people recreate the logos, they copy, and then they stretch them. So you will see something different in the logo. Check also for the signature. You will see that they copy, and the signature will be different. So those are a few things that you must check for. So when you check those things and you find that they are not according to what you know, then you have to be cautious and make sure that you communicate back to your boss to find out if at all they are the ones. But phishing has been very successful in siphoning information or getting information, because like you are saying, people are so busy. So we need to be careful, very, very careful, just like we are careful when we're in the jungle, just like we are very careful when we're on water, just like we are careful wherever we are. So we need to be very careful when we are using the emails.
The second one then, my elder, which is the final one before I give you once again, is where do these people get all our emails?
Okay, now when you are talking about emails, mind you, there are different ways of getting emails.
Yeah.
Number one, the people that you communicate with.
Okay.
You use things like other social medias where you give your emails. There are people who gather such. They get emails by sending you fake adverts. They just push in an advert for a job. And they put very attractive specs there. So a lot of people will send their emails there. They will get the emails. They will harvest the emails. The other way that they use for harvesting emails is to at times go to just legit companies where we go to, maybe it's the shops, you know, where you give, you want a card, you give the email address, you do whatever. There are people who we call insiders.
Yeah.
Those insiders take those emails because it's a lucrative business. Then they give the emails to people.
Sure.
So those are some of the ways that the emails end up with in the hands of people who are not authentic. Then the other way is just to hack. There are, you know, when you do cybersecurity, there are ways and other apps that people use just to harvest emails. Then people leave their computers without closing. They go to public places where I'm going to talk about that. They go to public places and then they leave their emails like that. Mm. And then you need to avoid certain public places because whatever you do on a computer, on their computer, it may be stored. So internet cafes that are not trusted, you know, you go there, you put your things, and then they will harvest your emails. So those are some of the ways through which emails are harvested and sent to other people. So we can also be cautious and make sure that we don't just give email addresses to people that we do not know, because they send, you know, there are some chain emails that come, you know, it's just flooding you, you know, with things that you don't know, you know, adverts and all those things. So because they have harvested your emails.
It sounds like it's very prevalent, my elder, and something that they obviously are benefiting. I don't think they would be trying all these methods if they weren't really beneficial for them, and there aren't any rewards that they are getting from this.
There are rewards. Like I said, if you give the email addresses to certain companies, then they will have a way of advertising, you know. They are advertising their products, you know. They will just be flooding those people with those things. And, you know, we are dealing with millions of people here. So probability is very high that at least you can get 500 if you send your phishing email to 1 million people. 500 will respond, because not everyone has a privilege to listen to what we are talking about, and very few people have time to listen to such things.
Yes, sure. We've got about 9 minutes there, my elder. How do we wrap it up?
Okay, yes. So to wrap up our talk for this evening, I would say, you know, with the advent of Wi-Fi, a lot of people are finding themselves in public places.
Hey, that one.
When I was in Johannesburg, I used to pass through a certain place near Tafontein, where there is a fire station somewhere there, and you would find a lot of youth around that place. You know, surfing the internet because there is free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So public Wi-Fi is easily accessible by hackers.
Sure.
And when they access it, they will take all the IP addresses of all the gadgets that may be around that place, and they have access to you. So we have to be very careful and avoid Wi-Fi in public places. So, you need also to be sensitive, like I said, to get into public places for accessing sensitive information, even from your emails. Okay, so avoid accessing sensitive emails or clicking on unfamiliar links. Like I said, when you are connected to a public Wi-Fi network, because the public Wi-Fi networks are not secure. Now there are other networks that are secure. They've got firewalls, which means from outside, nothing malicious can penetrate to get into your space. But in most cases, the Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi networks are not secure. Then, when you are having your emails and other accounts, use strong and unique passwords for your email account.
Yes.
Create strong, complex passwords for your email accounts. Enable a two-factor authentication for an extra layer of security, whereby when anyone goes to your email, it will show on your phone that you accessed this. email from this computer, then you are aware.
Yeah.
Now, encrypt sensitive emails. So when sending sensitive emails via email or via whatever you are using, use email encryption if it is available. There are some apps where you can access the encryption, which means you disguise, which means your email is now changed. When it reaches the destination, that's when it will be open to be accessed by anyone. So encrypting emails ensures that only the intended recipient can read the content. But mind you, like we are saying, email and all these technologies were created by human beings. And as we know, a human being is a human being. Nevertheless, by following some of these rules, we may at least avoid the common attacks that come. Be careful with email forwarding and reply all. So you need to be very, very careful. Be cautious when forwarding or replying to emails, especially if they contain sensitive information. We are not just talking about attacks. We are also talking about carelessness, whereby, you know, we have seen people who have sent very sensitive information to places that they are not supposed to send to. So you have to be very careful. Be in your right space of mind, state of mind when you are dealing with the internet. Now, you have to also double check the recipient list to avoid accidentally sharing sensitive data. Just like on Zoom, there are people who intrude, you know. You are having a Zoom conversation. There are other accounts that you may not know. Who is this one? Who is using this phone? You know, so also emails are like that. You need to be very careful. As I'm about to wrap up now, keep your email software and plugins updated. You know why they update? Because they are coming up with, you know, there are a lot of feedback that come from users. They would say, no, this is happening, this is happening. So they would try to close those loopholes. So make sure that you update, you use your plugins. If it is Outlook, you update it and all those things like that. So regularly update your email client and plugins to patch security vulnerabilities. So criminals often exploit outdated software because it is never supported. So make sure that you update all the time. You can also use email filters and spam filters. You enable your email provider spam filter to automatically detect when there is suspicion, you know, or something that is not like the usual emails that you receive. Educate yourself and read also. Avoid public email sharing. Use, you know, report suspicious emails also. And you need also to secure, this is very important, secure your email account recovery options so that when your email system is hacked or maybe it is deleted, you have recovery options. Ensure that the recovery email and phone number associated with your email account are secure. Criminals can use these details to reset your password and gain access to your account. So, in a nutshell, it is very, very important to be aware of the space. We are not alone. The only place where we are ensured safety and total peace is when our Lord and Savior comes the second time in the new world. But in this life where we are, anyone can get into anywhere. There is no safe place under the sun. We have heard where the FBI has been hacked into, those huge and very, very, you know, companies with a proper security, you know, cyber security, they've been hacked in. Because the problem is, you may be thinking that you have an enemy who is outside, but the most dangerous enemy is the one we call an insider. My brother, I think I can end here. for today. Thank you so much.
Two questions there, my elder, as you wrap it up. On complex passwords, what is the easiest way to remember a complex password? You did mention that it's very important sometimes to have that complex password, but my oh my, it's easy to forget. That time you're looking for something important, but you've forgotten your complex password. What does it look like? I know people would say it's also not advisable to have a spreadsheet where you've got all these different passwords, because that also exposes you. But what is the simplest way to remember a complex password?
No, well, if I can say something right now, it is already not a password anymore. That's how security is. So whatever is known to by more than one person, it is not security anymore.
Okay.
So what I would just say is combine the numbers, the letters, and then the symbols and the other characters, and make them in such a way that there are times when you can make a sentence that you know, maybe a three-word sentence, just from nowhere. And then in that sentence, you know, in that sentence, you remove certain letters, you replace them by numbers. You know that that sentence, you can even say it, no one can know it, but you remove or you reverse. You start from the left going to the right, and then you change, you put some characters and whatever. Yeah. So a sentence which can have maybe 15 or so characters, that is the way to go. Nevertheless, even those sentences, they can be hacked, but it can take a lot of time, because when a person punches in the software, the software works very fast. So it will put combinations of things and all that until it finds it. But a criminal does not want to waste time. So we are putting all these security measures so that a criminal can, at least it can take him a longer period of time to do something. So that's So, my brother, make sentences, short sentences.
Yes.
I am going home. Then where there is I, you put an exclamation mark. Yes. Where there is home, or you put a zero. You know, all those things. You know, just combine. Yeah. But that sentence must be known to you.
Only to
that you. You are putting there, yes.
Sure.
So in that way, you will be safe.
Last one, I promise, last one, my elder, that's coming through. How do we become safe with Gmail and Yahoo emails? So I suspect when you have an email coming from a Yahoo or Gmail, should you just immediately have your antennas up?
Not necessarily. When because you need to be receiving emails from the people you know.
Yes.
So you have circles. You know people. Mm. A person cannot just find an email from nowhere. Mm. You have to know, is this email for my work or for my what? Mm. You need to know. Every source of email, whether they are coming through Yahoo or from a company or whatever, they are just as safe and unsafe as any other. I hope you heard me. They are just as safe and unsafe as any other.
Sure.
But the issue is, if it is a company email, a person is saying, I'm writing from this company, and then there is gmail.com or yahoo.co.whatever or .com, then just know that no, because a company must have their own domain, you know, in the email.
Yeah.
And be aware also of false domains.
Yes.
If it's a bank that you know, and then you see it starts from, say, if it is ABCD bank, then it is a bank ABCD, then you just know
something is not right.
This one is trying to change things, or there is a dot where there is not supposed to be a dot.
Mm.
So you just have to be cautious. So every email can be a dangerous email. At the same time, we should not discredit any other email to say maybe emails that come from this are the more dangerous ones. No, research hasn't yet shown any of those. But you just have to be cautious on how you respond to emails and
Sure. This is the stuff that people pay for at universities. We want to say thank you so much, my elder, for sharing those insights with us. It's a book I've written here for myself on how to be safe and then things to watch out for. But thank you so much once again, my elder, for joining us. And we really hope that the Lord will continue to bless you.
Thank you so much. And from next year and in the coming months, we may be advertising such courses. There will be short courses in information security here at Helderberg College of Higher Education. So look out for such. Yes. And we would like many people to be aware. At least we must disseminate this information so that at least there can be some peace.
Yeah.
You know, while we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ to bring the peace that will pass all understanding.
Indeed.
And for everyone who have believed in him.
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, my elder. All the best.
God bless.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.